chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio. Oh,
yeah. Good job, Mama.
I was off key.
Oh, please. That was pitch perfect. Hey, everybody. This is John Reap, and you're also listening to...
Betty Reap.
That's my mama, and she's sitting in with me today, taking Sarah's spot, because you're doing the whole show. See, Mom, Dad just did... He just did an interview within the show, but you're in the whole show from the top to the bottom. So welcome to the Fried Pod. How
Thank
are you doing?
You. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be back home. You know, hope you're happy to have me.
We're glad to have you.
Yeah. Well, so for those of you who don't know, a couple things we're going to talk about. We got a hurricane coming.
No, scary.
Yeah, Hurricane Florence. We're going to talk about my move back here. And... I want to know about the Pitts family, the Pitts side, because I brought this up with Dad one time, right? I said, Dad, we were just driving somewhere. I said, this was before I took that 23andMe ancestry test, you know, I was asking Dad, like, well, what are we, you know? I mean, I know we're white Americans, but where are the Reaps? You know, I wanted to get my heritage, my ancestry. He goes, well, let's see here, you're my dad. Your grandfather on, Reap was, I think, German. And then, your mother, your grandmother, my mama was, and he gave me a couple of things. And he goes, so I think you're like mostly German. I go, what about the English part? He goes, no English. I said, Dad, I'm also half mom. I'm also half Pitts. He goes, oh, English. Yeah, okay. So I'm guessing that's English. But I really don't know. What do you know about that?
I have no earthly idea.
I've never
checked into it.
So, okay. So we don't know where Austin Pitts, your dad, where his grandfather came from. Or how far do you know? How far can you tell me?
My granddaddy Pitts.
Your granddaddy Pitts. What was his name?
Oh, my word.
You don't know your
granddaddy? I just called
name?
Him granddaddy. Now I can't remember. Well, Hold on a minute.
No, don't go anywhere. What are you trying to find? I need you here because you're going
to...
phone. Well, talk in the microphone.
Okay.
You want your phone? Go get your phone. I'll hold the microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, my mother is going to go get her phone right now. I guess she's going to look up what granddaddy Pitts' name was. Austin was her dad. Come here and sit down, Mom. I know you stopped walking. Okay. All right. Also, you might hear me smacking my lips. I'm having some delicious egg salad that my mother made. Deviled egg salad, to be exact, because these were made from leftover deviled eggs, and it is delicious. And I ate the whole thing, Mom. Hope you're okay with that.
Very good.
I ate all of it.
Well, we got more eggs.
Okay. All right. So you went and got your phone. Tell me what you found out, or have you found out anything?
Let's see.
What is it you're
My
looking
daddy's
at?
Name was Austin Leroy Pitts. My grandfather was Calvin Monroe Pitts.
Calvin Monroe Pitts. Now, did you know him?
No.
You never met him?
My granddaddy died when I was just a little tot. So I
you
don't,
never, you have no memory of no, no. Calvin Monroe Pitts. Yes. Now, that is your dad's dad?
My dad's dad.
Yeah. So, granddaddy is all you... Well, you never met him.
I never met him.
So you just know Austin, your dad.
Right.
And then not once in your life did he ever say, like, well, the Pitts came over here on the Mayflower from whatever country.
Nope.
All right. Well, this proves sort of my point, ladies and gentlemen. It don't matter. Okay? I took a test just because me and Sarah thought it'd be a funny thing to do on the Fried Pod. But my little joke about that now is people asking me, like, so what's your heritage? What's your ancestry? I go, well, I took the 23andMe test, and it came back with one pie chart, three colors, red, white, and blue. I'm an American. What else do you need to know? I ain't from nowhere but here. So, look, it don't matter, folks. Stop trying to align yourself with some group that you never met, okay? Stick with the ones you know, the ones you love, your immediate family. I really, unless you're, you know, you got some weird disease or you're, you know, you really want to find out something for health reasons, or maybe you have, I don't know, maybe you're from a, you have a long lost sister or a brother or maybe a parent, you know. Now, that for those reasons, totally get it. But, you know, who other than that, who cares? Mom, I see you still looking into your phone over there. What are we reading right now?
I was looking at my, on my grandmother's side.
Uh-huh.
Of my daddy's mother's side.
Your daddy's mother. What was her last name?
She was a Whitener.
Whitener. Okay.
And she had.
Don't get Whitener than Whitener.
And she had a, I guess it was great grandfather.
Okay.
Philip Whitener, who was a Revolutionary War soldier.
Oh, and okay.
And
he fought for our independence against the British.
I suppose so.
That's the Revolutionary War. Good deal. All right, so we got some vets. We got some heroes in our blood. But honestly, I never knew either. And you know what? I've never asked you before, have I?
Nope.
Never came up. You know why? Because it don't matter.
It don't matter.
It don't matter. Well, I thought it'd be interesting to find out. So, Mom, tell us about your childhood. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I had two sisters and two brothers.
Okay.
And
where do you fall in the age of this?
I was the baby girl.
Okay.
And then I have a younger brother, Stephen.
Okay.
And then my oldest sister, Gail.
Right.
Is still alive. The Kenneth and Lorena have passed on.
Kenneth and Lorena. Lorena was your older sister. Kenneth was your older brother.
Yeah. Well, they were both younger than Gail. Gail's the oldest.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now, what was your childhood like? Did you have a happy childhood? Did you enjoy it? Many fond memories? Or what was it like growing up with that many brothers and sisters? I only have the one brother, as you know, Jason Reap. I'm sure you're familiar with Jason.
I think so.
Yeah. So, but what was it like for you growing up with those many kids in the house? Competition? Love?
Oh, it was a lot of love, but we had there were seven people, okay, counting Mom and Dad, and we had one bathroom.
Oh, my gosh. And that's how many women? Mother, you, Gail, Lorraine, four women. One bathroom. Oh, my goodness. See, Kenneth and Stephen could just, and Austin go outside.
Yeah. Yes, they had to, yeah.
Right.
And my mama was a fantastic cook. She was a fantastic role model. She loved playing with her kids, and the neighborhood kids all loved to come to the house because she would bake cookies or bake a cake and would have cake and pickles, her homemade pickles.
Cake and pickles.
A lot of times it was coconut cream cake with some pickles or a chocolate cake with pickles.
Now, and she made the pickles.
Yes.
Now, can you tell me how she made these pickles?
I have no earthly idea.
She didn't pass on the recipe?
No, I was the baby girl.
Mm-hmm. So does Gail have it?
Gail has it. Gail's done all. She's learned to cook and sew and can. Me and Lorena, being the two youngest, we didn't wash clothes because we had, back then I remember having a wringer washing machine and we weren't allowed to be around that. We hung the clothes out on the line.
Yeah.
And when they were dry, we'd go get them in and fold them.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally we would iron.
Yeah.
Clean the bathrooms.
Well, let's get back to this pickle recipe.
Yes.
I like pickles.
I like pickles.
Dad likes pickles.
Yeah.
But Gail has the recipe. We got to get this recipe from Gail. I want to find out what the pickle recipe is.
All right.
I want you to start canning some pickles.
Oh,
I mean, we have a hurricane coming up. Well, maybe we'll make Dad do it. We'll get him. I'll do it.
Okay.
You know, I got to earn my keep around here.
I would love to see you try it.
Well, I don't know. I know it's a cucumber, and I know you put it in vinegar, and then I don't know what happens after that.
I really don't either. Salt, I guess.
Salt and pepper, some other stuff. We'll figure it out. And then you said your mother made cake, coconut cake.
Mm-hmm.
And she also made, well, I just had a brainstorm.
Yeast rolls.
Yes, but we're going to, okay. We need to come up with pickle coconut cake. We'll combine the two.
Oh.
Could you imagine a pickle cake, Mom?
No.
Oh, how about this? Do you like cornbread?
I do.
Do you like pickles?
I do.
What if we had cornbread flavored, pickle flavored cornbread? Would that be something?
That would be different, but it'd probably be good.
I bet that would be good because it's not a sweet thing and a salty thing. It's two salty things together.
Right.
That ought to be good. All right. So also, yes, you said yeast rolls.
Yes.
She made the best. Now,
she did.
For those of you listening who don't know about the Pitt side of the family, the Reeps, Pitts side of my mom's side, really kind of closer to that side than the Reeps growing up because the Reeps were in Lincolnton. We didn't go out there as much as we go to your side. I would visit my grandmother on your side more often than my grandmother on dad's side because they were closer and because you guys had a once-a-month sort of Sunday get-together.
That's right.
And we would have everyone would bring a covered dish. And I look forward to that all the time because we'd go over there and then Granny would have her yeast rolls. And, I mean, I must have – and sausage biscuits. Yeah. I would get there, first thing I'd do is eat like five of those. And then I'd be stuffed and really couldn't eat much else. But, so, yeah, that was – I look forward to that. She made good yeast rolls. What else do you – I mean, I know that it was a covered dish thing. But – and Dad's mom made – she made what I like was the fried okra.
Mm.
Did Granny ever make fried
okra? Yes, Granny did.
I can't remember.
Both of them did.
Yeah. What was your favorite thing that she made?
My favorite thing that Mother made
was
I love the way she did her hams.
Oh, that's right.
And I've got the recipe.
That you got that one. Yes. My mother, Betty Pitts Reap. Wait. So it's Betty Pitts. It was Carolyn?
Betty Carolyn.
Betty Carol Ann or Carolyn?
Carolyn.
Carolyn. Mm-hmm. Betty Carolyn Pitts Reap. Okay. Got this recipe. So my mom's very good. When I come home, Dad is always excited when I would come visit. Now that I live here, it might not happen as often, but Dad would get excited because he knew that's when you was going to start making some food. He'd go, I like it when you come home. I get all this stuff. So mom's really good at making chicken pan pie and this baked ham. That's like two of your solid dishes that I know is going to be great every time. Where'd you get the chicken pan pie? Is that a Veda Pitts thing?
No, I got that from...
Veda's my mother's mom's name, my grandmother's name, Veda.
West Hickory Baptist Church Ladies Cookbook.
Oh, you just took it from there?
I did.
Good
deal. I cannot for the life of me remember whose recipe it was.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny? Like, you know, in the rest of the world, the country, they call it chicken pot pie.
Yes.
If you go somewhere like the Boston Market, they don't have chicken pan pie. See, my whole life... it was always chicken pan pie. Now I go out into the big world. I'm asking for chicken pan pie. They're laughing at me. Like, we don't know what that is. It's called chicken pot pie, John. I go, no. It's made in a pan. You guys are stupid. It's chicken pan pie. So why the pan and not the pot?
Well, a lot of people who make chicken pot pies put carrots and all kinds of vegetables in it. And when I started making it, y'all didn't like. My boys didn't like vegetables. Jason hates corn.
Oh, he hates it.
And you don't particularly like...
Mashed potatoes.
Well,
I've grown up since then. Jason still has a baby palate. He has the palate of a child. My palate has grown since then. But I will eat mashed potatoes, but it's a lot of carbohydrates. I try to stay away from them. But yeah, so that would have chicken pot pie, too many vegetables. For the kids.
Carrots and peas and potatoes and stuff.
So honestly, it's better because you just get to the good stuff, which we all know is that crust.
Yes.
And then you just got less of the dumb stuff and more of the good stuff.
Yes.
Right. So Dad's always excited when I come home because he's going to get some chicken pan pie. He's going to get some honey baked ham. You call them greeny beanies.
Greeny beanies.
Is that something your mom used to say?
No, I don't know.
Is that something you made up?
I think that's just something I started saying. Okay.
And then deviled eggs. Bread. What am I forgetting? Oh, corn. Cream corn.
Cream corn.
You remember the time Dad made Jason eat corn at the table?
Yes.
You want to talk about that? It's hilarious.
It is hilarious. So David had started a rule that you have to take at least one bite of anything that I fix for supper.
Yeah.
And Jason just ate all around the corn. And David said, before you get down, you have to have a bite of that. So he finally took a bite. And he started gagging, and he threw up in the plate.
Yeah,
and I felt so bad for him. Oh, Mom, I'm sorry, Mommy, I'll eat it. I said, you will not. You don't ever have to eat it again.
Yeah, his argument now is it has no nutritional value whatsoever, corn.
Right.
And so he's onto something there. Maybe his body told him a long time ago, We don't need this.
It's for pigs.
Get it out. I had a good childhood. That was, you know, I'm just the one brother, Jason. I'm a year and a half older. We had a great childhood. I remember the first place we lived. What was the name of that neighborhood? Was it in Newton or Startown? Where was that neighborhood?
It was in Newton.
Newton, yeah. Had a house. It was a two-story house. It doesn't matter where it is. It's a two-story house. And what age do you think y'all moved from there to this house?
Let's see. Jason was, we moved over here in 1976.
76. I would have been 4 or 5.
Jason,
born in 72.
Three.
Yeah. And then, let's go back even further. All right. Childhood, one bathroom amongst all of you.
Yes.
That was fun.
That was a lot, especially in the school times where everybody had to get up and get ready at the same time. And
as the youngest, you probably had to go last.
Mama insisted the girls go first.
Out of the girls, you probably had to go last.
Because girls take such a long time, longer.
Yeah.
But she would hurry us up. And we could do our hair and stuff in a bedroom that we shared upstairs. Upstairs there were two bedrooms. The house was not air conditioned.
Yep.
Had two room air conditioners downstairs.
Yep.
Lauren and I slept in one room, and Kenneth and Steven slept in the room across the hall.
And then Gail.
And Gail, you know, I don't remember her much in there, because she got married.
How much older is she than you?
She's 8 years older.
Eight?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, when you were five, let's see here, five, let me just math, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. She was 13 when you were five, so you don't really remember much there. So, how old was she when she got married?
She was, I think she was 19 or 20 when she got married.
All right, minus 8, so you'd have been 11. All right. So she was out of the house as soon as she got married?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So you didn't really have to fight so much over time with Gail, because
nope.
She would either get there before or way after you,
yeah,
or something, I imagine.
I guess we weren't even in school.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then let's go through that was elementary school, and then you go to what middle school did you go to? Well, what elementary school did you go to?
Went to Longview Elementary.
Longview Elementary.
Then to Grandview Junior High.
Grandview.
And then to Hickory High.
Hickory. Let's see it.
Hickory
High. And that's actually the preppy high school. That's the good one in this town. See, I went to Fred T. Ford High School. That's the Future Farmers of America. That's your bricklayers. Hickory High, that's your preppies. Yeah, so you went to the rich school, Mom.
Oh, goodness.
Did you know that? It probably wasn't that back then. Probably the only school that was.
Oh, yeah, it was. Well, I guess it was St. Stephen's.
St. Stephen's, yeah. And so when you graduated, when you were going to high school, did you have any idea what you wanted to do with your life or what your life was going to be, career-wise, anything?
I always thought that maybe I would end up being a nurse.
Okay.
Until I was in the 11th grade and I joined the nurses club. And we had to go into nursing homes and wait on the clients there. And then we had to go to the hospital. And the first time that I was in a room where this man had a feeding tube.
Oh.
And I was supposed to help feed him, and I guess he got choked or something, scared me to death.
Yeah. Was that tube going in his throat?
Yes.
Okay.
And so after that incident, I said,
No.
That is not for me. And then in my senior year, I decided I would be a secretary.
Oh, okay. Did you have a place picked out or?
No.
No, you just, that's what we're going to focus on.
Yep.
Which is a lot of typing classes.
Right. Shorthand and typing.
Shorthand.
And bookkeeping.
Wait a sec. You know what? Okay. This is great. Because these kids today, they don't even teach them cursive.
No.
Did you know this?
That's true.
They don't even teach them cursive, Mom. Now, I don't even know what shorthand is. I know that it exists. I know it's a thing. But it's a technical, it's a real thing. It's like, yes. This is what this is. And okay, so give me some examples. For the people listening at home, I have no idea what you're talking about. Shorthand. And we're not talking about, you know, a man who was born with a tiny hand. We're not, you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about an actual language, not a language, but a way of writing.
Symbols. Yeah, little symbols.
Okay, what's, like so if, not abbreviations.
No. Like if you want, if
here,
somebody say.
Here's a piece, here, right on the back of this. Something in shorthand, if you can. All right. Write down I love John in shorthand. It's J-O-N. Do you even remember? Wait. What is that?
That's I, and then that's L with a little curly Q there, and then J-N.
Oh, my goodness. It looks like an O, a U, and an L. Like owl. Yeah. I'm going to take a picture of this and put this on the internet because I would have never known. You got like, this is great. People could use this to write like secret notes in front of kids today. Even kids of my age.
Yeah, just about.
And have no idea.
Like you could be, Pig Latin used to
you
be.
You could be talking about us right in front of me and I would have no idea. So that's a, what is that? That's an I. Why is an I an O?
I don't know. Yeah. That's just.
Because an I is almost just as easy as that thing. Okay, I don't know if that's short. Okay, and then love is?
That's the L and a little curly Q for maybe a, that looks like a U, L-U.
So a little curly Q at the end is the of? Or
L-U. Uh-huh. Well, let me see, L-V, I guess.
L-V?
I don't even remember.
That's fine.
Let's see.
Well, here's what we'll do. Think about it. I'm going to take a picture of that, post it. Shorthand, people, Google that. Mama knows shorthand. cursive now is going to be gone the way of the dodo bird. Shorthand's already gone. Now, typing class. I took typing in class in high school. I think that's something that, I don't know if there's, I have no idea if they're still teaching that in high schools. I imagine they are because a lot of keyboards still exist.
When I took typing, it was manual typewriters.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Whether you had to hit the.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying the keyboards are the same.
Yes.
Same layout.
Yes.
But, do you remember how fast you typed?
When I first took it, I almost failed it. I was in a class with Mary Church, mm-hmm. one of my.
Shout out, Mary Church.
And she gave me a piece of chewing gum. We were going to have a timed reading typing test.
Okay.
And she gave me a piece of chewing gum. And so when it started, we were both chewing chewing gum, and she looked over at me, and I was just really pounding down on that chewing gum, and she started laughing, and then I started laughing. And so I did really bad on that.
That was
so
the
I had
test.
To move.
Oh, no.
I had to move
to another
from her.
Yeah. Now, could you type and not look at your hands? Could you look
yeah,
at
the, whenever I...
Back in the day, yeah. In your prime.
Yes.
You could sit there and not even look down.
Yes.
Wow. See, I could never do that. I can type in, like, my name without looking, and then after that, it's gone. You know, I have to look. Okay, so you're like, I'm going to be a secretary. Yes. I'm going to learn the shorthand. I'm going to learn some typing skills. At what point do we meet David Reap?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that wasn't high school.
No way.
He went to a different high school.
He went to West Lincoln.
West Lincoln, even more redneck than Fred T. Ford.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I was, after high school, I went to, Mother wanted me to go to Lenore Ryan mm-hmm. and stay at home. She would not let me go off to school.
Did you have good grades?
Yeah, I had good grades.
Like what?
AB. I was on
A's
the ABR.
And B's?
Mm-hmm.
Whew. That's where Jason gets it.
But she wouldn't let me go off to college. She said so many kids, when they go off to college, they come back atheist, and she wasn't going to have that.
Oh, my goodness. So, but not Lenore Ryan.
Well, no, she said I could go to Lenore Ryan.
Oh.
And so live at home.
You could have went to anywhere,
and
really.
Lived at home.
No. Well, off to college could be in California, too.
Oh.
I'm saying your grades were good enough
yes.
that you could have went to any university, almost, probably. Did you even apply to any university?
No.
No. Did you apply to Lenore Ryan?
No, I didn't want to go to Lenore Ryan. If I couldn't go somewhere and be off, I wasn't going to go to college.
Really? So yeah. you didn't go to college to prove your mama wrong.
Right. So I went to CVTI.
CVTI.
I went to the institution.
Catawba Valley Technical Institute. That's Dad's favorite joke about how you guys met. We met in an institution.
Yes.
Yeah. We've been institutionalized. So you are going, you graduate from high school, you're going to CVTI, and then you're taking secretarial type things. Mm-hmm. Remind me to ask you about Centel as well.
Okay.
That
was my first job after.
Yeah. Okay. So we're taking secretary classes. And then how did you end up? I know Dad wasn't in secretary classes.
It was a business course.
A business course.
And you had to take so many different things to get the executive secretarial
degree. Right, some
degree.
Classes just generic overlap type of stuff. Do you remember what class it was where you met Dad?
Introduction to Business.
Introduction to Business. Was he a good student?
No. I was the only girl in that class.
Oh, my goodness.
And I sat at the front.
Oh, no.
And
how was your grades?
I transferred out of there. I wasn't going to stay in there with all those boys, especially after your daddy passed me up a note.
Uh-oh.
And I can't even remember what it was about. It said something about him being a volunteer fireman, do exactly as I say, lay down on the floor, and blah 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 blah. I can't remember what it was, but when I got that note and I read it, I know my ears and everything was red.
Turned red.
Everybody was snickering because they knew what David had done.
Yeah.
So that very day, I went to the office and transferred out of that class.
And then he just kept pestering you.
Oh yeah.
I got it. All right. So we meet there, and then. Did he graduate from there? I know you did.
I did. But
I don't know if he graduated.
I think he failed something that he needed to get his business degree, and he said, I'm not going back.
Okay, so he didn't need it.
No.
He already found what he's looking for.
That's right.
He found you.
Yeah, and in fact, he rode to school with three different guys from Lincolnton, and when he saw me walking down the hall, he said, I'm going to marry that girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, he was right.
And he was right.
Okay. I was going to ask you something else. It just slipped my dang mind.
Centel.
Well, Centel, that's the first job. Because I know in another podcast, we already did one with me, you, and Dad. Remember that one?
Yes.
So there's some, like, how you met and all that kind of stuff, information in that podcast. If you guys are listening to this, you're like, keep going with that, John. It's already been done. You could look up other podcasts.
That's right.
It's probably called Dave and Betty Reap, something like that. The whole story is in there, and it's awesome. I want to get into more of just Betty Reap, though. Just Betty Reap. Betty Carolyn Pitts.
Oh, my.
So you graduate from CVTI, and your first job is at Centel. Tell us what Centel is.
Actually, that was not my first job.
Okay, what's your first job?
First job was First Citizens Bank.
Okay, and are you a secretary?
I was hired to be secretary to the installment loan office. No, a commercial loan officer.
Okay.
And I have always been very extremely shy.
Yes.
And anytime anybody said anything to me and I didn't have the right words to say, I could feel my whole body tingling, turning red.
Well, yeah. Jason gets that too.
Yes. Bless his heart.
Bless his
heart.
I love him to death.
But bless his heart. But the one man that I worked for mainly was very gruff, very intimidating. And as soon as I could, I transferred out of the commercial loan into the installment loan department.
Okay.
And also, I was a collection secretary, plus I took loan payments and stuff like that. And I loved that. In fact, I went for a whole year without being not even one penny over or short.
Woo.
And they said it's the first time that ever happened in the history.
Wow.
of
well, that's well, it's obvious then why I see you over here yesterday going through the books and coupons and it's checks and receipts. Well, of course, that's what she does.
Yes.
Here, I needed you to get. Are you for hire?
I am.
Because you know, I just moved here. I could use a new an accountant and bookkeeper and all that stuff. You want to get back in the game, Mom?
I'm not.
You let me know. All right, so we go. How long were you working at First Citizens Bank?
I graduated in 67, and I went to work there. I graduated in May.
Yeah.
Started to work there in...
Well, give me a couple of years, like a year or 2 years.
Oh, I was there probably 9 or 10 years.
9 or 10 years.
Yes.
So what made you leave there? And I'm assuming Centel was next.
Yes.
What made you leave there?
Well...
Because Centel.
It was back when there were... The president put a wage price freeze on companies all across the country.
Which president was this?
Oh, gosh.
Was this Reagan? Was this Carter?
Let me think. What would it have, been in 70?
I think Jimmy Carter. Here, let's Google
70.
It. We've got the internet right here, Mom. Everything we want to know is right here in my fingertips.
Okay, what would it have been in 1980?
That's Carter. Let me look it up to double check. I mean, I'm Reagan. 1980 president. I'm just typing it in. Isn't this great? Ronald Reagan.
Okay. So there was a wage price freeze. Okay. And
thanks, Reagan.
And then the next year, it was on again. But they said that they were going to give just small raises. And so the banking officials decided, since the men were the breadwinners, that they would get everything that was apportioned for Hickory to go to divide it among all the men. So the next year,
that just sounds so illegal.
This is 3 years in a row I didn't get a raise. Well, they said the third year, well, we're gonna give you $10 a month. So when
and you're doing the same job as some of the other men in that building?
Yes.
That's horrible.
And training some of them.
That is horrible.
So
I'm angry right now.
When I got my paycheck, you only got paid once a month. My paycheck was like $9.29 or something like that. Well, I mean, I had two kids that I was paying child care.
I got two brothers somewhere?
No. Child care was very expensive.
Okay.
And you had to dress a certain way at the bank because you were in the public's...
Yeah, dressed nice.
So they expected so much of you, but yet they didn't want to give you any money. So,
they want you to dress fancy, but you can't afford it.
So
I was
upset, and when I saw that, I went into my boss's office, and I said... it's bad enough that you don't get a raise for 2 years, but then you say we're going to get $10. I expected $10, and I got $9.
Oh.
And he more or less told me that if I didn't like it, pack my
bags
and get.
Yep.
And leave and get.
Yeah.
So the shy, embarrassed, hurt person I was, I just got up and went back to my job, but I immediately started looking for another job.
Okay. Well, that's smart. See, what you didn't do is fly off the handle.
No, I did not.
And be unemployed for a month or two.
I did not.
You plotted.
And he knew that I wouldn't.
Do that. Yeah.
So I started.
Is this guy still alive?
I think so.
Oh, wait. When we're done here, I want you to give me his name and his address and his phone number.
I think he went back east somewhere. But anyway.
Wow, okay.
I started looking. It took me 2 or 3 months to get an interview right next door at Central Telephone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went in and talked to this. It was a lady, Barbara Brown, and she was the head chief operator, which means she was over all the operators, and I would be her secretary.
Right.
And after talking with her for a little bit, I thought, I don't know whether I want to work for her or not. She is really strict.
Okay.
I mean, you were written up if you were a minute late and all this stuff. And so I was nervous through all that interview, but I answered all of her questions and went back. And 2 days later, she called me.
Yeah.
And she offered me the job.
Okay.
And No, she said, I'd like to speak with you again. Can you come and talk to me again? So I went back for a second interview. And this time I thought, I'm not afraid of her because I'm not going to go to work for her.
Right.
And so I just answered her questions the way I felt like I should answer it, the way I wanted to. And truthfully and boldly.
Yeah.
And at the end of that interview, she offered me the job and told me that she was going to give me so many years' wage credit experience. And I could not believe how much she was offering me. It was so much more than what I was making at First Citizens Bank. So she said, how much of a notice do you need? And I said, I'll go right now and turn in my notice. And she just sort of laughed, and she said, well, do what you got to do. Just think it over and give me a call. So the first thing I did is I called David. I said, she's offered me the job, and this is what my starting salary would be. And he said, you better call her back and have her repeat that to you. Right. And if that's the truth, you turn in your notice.
Yeah.
And so I did. I called her back, and I said, my husband wanted me to be sure that you told me a certain amount, and she repeated it back, and I said, that's all I needed to know. I'm turning in my notice.
Yeah. Now, so you actually went, you gave that guy another 2 weeks?
Now, really, I only gave him a week.
Okay, good.
Because I told him they wanted me tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. And he said, well,
I'm being nice to you with this week.
Yeah, he said, can you at least work 1 week? And he said he tried to offer me more money.
Oh, yeah, sneaky little. Okay.
And I said, unless you can, I wrote down what they had were going to start me out with. Yeah. And I said, unless you can match this. And he said, oh, my goodness, Betty, I'm sorry, I cannot.
Good. And then you said, all right, you got 7 days.
That's right.
Now, okay, because I have a comedian friend named Dusty Slay who talks about the happiest time at work is when he knows that week he's not going to be there anymore. And someone's like, yeah, can you help me find? He's like, nah. And he's just, you know, not mean, just like not doing anything. Like for that week that you know that you're not going to be there anymore, did you at least have some fun messing with him or being passive aggressive in any way?
No,
you're a good girl.
I trained the new girl.
Okay.
And just did what I had to do.
Right. Oh, there
to
you
get
go.
Out of there.
That's great. So then we're at Centel. We're making some cash. I remember as a kid when you got that job. Well, not when you got it, but I never, you know, growing up, that's where you worked, Centel. Mom's a secretary at Centel. Then you. Did you become an operator? Did you do some of that?
Well, there was a period of time where there was some merging going on, and a lot of people got laid off.
Yeah.
And so I got laid off one time. And
I remember this vaguely.
Then in order to come back, I had to come. If I wanted to, see, I kept in touch with my boss.
Yeah.
Because we got along really well. Barbara Brown.
Yeah.
And so I just kept calling her, and she said, Betty, the only thing I have right now, I have an opening for an operator. If you want to come back as an operator, I said, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So she said, you know that you would have all your years of service, and you'd get all your week's vacation and good pay, but you'd have to start at the bottom on the totem pole because you would have to be, I mean, it's union.
Right.
The operators are union. So you would have the worst hours.
Right.
Like you might come in at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And work. No, that was for 9 hours.
But I kind of remember this period.
7 in the morning to 11 in the afternoon and have 3 hours off and go back.
Yeah.
And work another
hour. Well, it was very strange times.
Yes. Saturdays and Sundays.
You did not like that.
No.
No. And then you got your other job back.
I got it back.
That's, well, persistence. Man, I'm so, so thankful and happy that you're my mom.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I have the best mother in the world. Worked hard to support her kids and her family. And, you know, look at us now.
I know.
So thank you for that, Mom.
You're welcome. I love you, too.
I love you, Mama. Okay. So, Centel, I'm trying to think. Okay. Let's, because we got, all right, we got 39 minutes under our belt already. This is great. We got a hurricane coming up.
Oh, no, hurricane. Florence.
Are you nervous at all?
I'm a little.
Yeah? I know you went through Hugo, because I was here when Hugo came through. Before that, any of the hurricanes that you can remember? that you went through?
But we were on a trip with the Whaleys out west, and Katrina was.
Oh, okay, but that's a big one. Everybody knows Katrina. You were around there for that?
We spent the night in.
Some town close to Katrina?
Yeah, and the next day, I mean, we stopped, spent the night there, and we kept listening to the news, and it was getting closer and closer, and so David was so nervous. And we got up, had breakfast, and headed out, and Ron said, it's going to be so busy getting out of here, but it wasn't all that bad, but there's a lot of traffic.
Uh-huh.
But we asked this waitress, why are you not packing up and getting out of here? Oh, we have hurricanes and tornadoes all the time. There's nothing to it.
Right.
And that place was totally destroyed.
Yeah. You remember going back and looking at it?
We didn't go back and look at it. We just heard about it on the news.
Heard about it. Wow. Yeah. Well, I remember Hurricane Hugo came through 1989 or 90, and I was a senior in high school. And I know because some football games were canceled. We had a weeping willow tree in the front yard. I remember, I think it hit around at night because it was dark.
Yes. When it was we slept through it.
We did and we didn't. I slept in that front room for whatever reason.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know why.
You must.
That must have been like a video game situation where I wanted to play video games all night or something. Anyway, I remember looking out the storm door and seeing Sean Selemeyer, our next door neighbor, like open the wooden door to the front door. Wooden door, and then there's a clear glass storm door that they had the same situation that we had with a wooden door and a storm door, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he opens a wooden door, and I can see him behind the glass just standing there looking around, and the hurricane and the weeping willow tree is probably the worst kind of tree for a hurricane because it's just whips. You know, that thing's just, it looks like a headbanger at a Metallica concert, you know. And I remember Sean just looking at that, looking around, and he opens that storm door, and he went, and he took everything he had to try and close that thing. But our weeping willow tree got knocked over, and I remember school being canceled for a good week or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if we had any real damage other than that.
No, it lifted it up out of the ground and just leaned on the house because it was so many
roots.
Yeah, the roots were. Daddy had to. Oh gosh, went out and got some chains and a big truck and had to literally.
Lift it out of the ground.
It was so big.
But other than that, no problem, huh?
No, we lost power for a day.
Lost power. We had a carport back then, which is now our sunroom. But I remember him parking your Citation and his truck. Our carport was a one-car garage. But somehow, he got both of them in there within like less than an inch apart from them and the wall.
Your daddy can maneuver so many things,
yeah,
so many different ways.
Trainer. Okay. So, and I was in Raleigh when Fran came through, Hurricane Fran. And I remember we were on the third floor at an apartment, me and Booger, Shay Herman, and Joel. And I remember walking outside in the balcony and watching. There's a creek right next to where we live that just had turned into a river, and cars were just floating down it like it was just like there were toys in a river or something. But that was pretty crazy. They're saying this is a Category 4. As we record this, it is Wednesday. This is going to come out Friday. Mm-hmm. So as people are listening to this, we are probably going through a hurricane right now.
I know.
Yeah. So it's supposed to make landfall Friday?
Friday.
Yeah.
Sometime.
And it's they're saying it could come through Hickory. There's so many different models, you know, where it could go up to the right or down to the left, whatever. But one of them takes it right through Hickory. So it might be a tropical storm by the time it gets. Who knows? Prayers for us, everybody. I'm sure we're going
to
be fine.
I've already been out to the pool and taken all the chairs, stacked them on top of one another, put stuff out in the utility house.
Yeah.
Turned the tape, the little table over. I don't know whether I should roll it near the outhouse. I don't know.
We'll prepare. He'll start hunkering down here.
And see, I can get my Volkswagen in all the way to the front, and then he'll probably put the him will put your car next.
So we'll. Oh, and I feel like I feel like we're prepared ever since Y2K. Dad's been storing things. Like we got ourselves an emergency room back there in the office.
You remember when he bought powdered milk, okay. Boxes and boxes of powdered milk.
Yeah.
He bought honey galore, peanut butter galore.
Yeah. Like Y2K, it's going to happen. You're going to be thanking me. World's about to end.
Dried beans.
That was 18 years ago. We're still here. And we still have some of them dried beans. I don't know. I'm sure they're gone by now. But he kept the little storage part of that. Yeah, I mean, that being like a whole thing. So we got plenty of water. We're fine over here, everybody. Don't worry about us. Okay, Mom, we're going to wrap this up. But before I do, we're on this network called the All Things Comedy Network. And there's tons of other podcasts on this network. I'm just one, you know. And what I've decided to do is start promoting other people's podcasts so that they, in return, might promote ours. But who knows if they're going to do it. I'm just, you know, I'm the first one to lean out the olive branch to see if they'll do it. So I want you to read this one. This is another podcast on the show, and that top line is the title, and that's the description of the podcast. So just if you could just read that for everybody.
Okay, Sports Without Balls. Stand-up comics Aaron Foley and Trish Sir are obsessed with sports. Foley still clings to her dream of playing wide receiver for the New York Giants. Sir wants to crack the lineup of her beloved Los Angeles Dodgers. Until then, they rant into a microphone each week about every sport imaginable, featuring other sports enthusiasts. Game on.
There it is, Sports Without Balls, everybody. That's my friend Trish Sir and Aaron Foley, very funny comedians. I've known them for quite some time. So check out their podcast on this very network, All Things Comedy. Hashtag Sports Without Balls. Okay, now let's read some reviews. We got reviews here on our folks, I want you to, if you're listening to this, please rate us on iTunes, review us on iTunes, and then subscribe and share. We're on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud, and we're at the website All Things Comedy. I think we're even on Pandora and other things. I'm not sure, but it's been a while since we've read a review, and I've got three new ones here. I'm trying to figure out. Mom, why don't you just let's see here. Read this top one right here. This one, it says fan question. Okay.
Okay.
It's by a guy named JTuck4DAN. 48an. I don't know. All right. This was February 22nd, 2018. It's the last time I read a review. So read that one and see what it says.
Okay. This is a long-time listener, first-time caller. I was wondering if y'all could share stories of the first time you saw your parents really drunk. So, Sarah, you can take this one. I'll spare you the details, but my story ends with my dad climbing in the pool naked and saying, "Boy, get in the pool and find your daddy's underwear." The Outer Banks was never the same after that.
Wait, you know what? Now that I think about it, I think we actually talked about this one before. I think I've read that one before.
Okay.
Because I remember talking about the first time I saw you drunk.
Me?
Yes. Not drunk, but you were buzzed.
Oh.
It was after a high school reunion of yours.
Okay.
Yeah. Y'all had come home. You maybe had one drink or something. But I remember I could tell you were different.
I was giggling.
Yeah. You're like very happy. And you're like, there he is. There's my son. Come here to me. And then, you know, you hugged me real hard. All right. This one's called It's Friday, all caps, by a guy named JW in ATX. And all he says is, I'll just read this because it's three words. TGI Friday. And that's an emoji of beer. Mugs clinking together.
Oh, okay. Cheers.
Now, here's one. You want to try to read that one right there, Mom? All of that?
Okay.
Okay.
This is, what a great team. Been taking my son to John's shows since he was 7, and he's 9 years old now. Bummed that I am just now discovering this podcast. John is fantastic alone, but bringing in Sarah is like having that one friend who keeps you humble. She tells you what you probably need to hear and keeps you guessing. Wait, is she for real or just joking? Classy, not raunchy, like many female comedians end up. I'm not a big country fan, but still love the guest interview, which have actually made me take a second look at some country artists and buy their music. Example, John Rich and Thompson Square. Y'all should tour together. Keep up the great work. Much love from Myrtle Beach.
There you go. Those are reviews and cues. Because there's a question. I'm trying to think of new segments that rhyme. Oh, wait. I didn't mean to hit that yet. Ignore that. Got one more thing we're going to do, and then we'll wrap this one up. Okay, so, I think I've plugged everything.
How about your tour dates?
Thank you, Mom. Why don't you read the tour dates and tell everybody where I'm going to be?
Okay, September the 27th through the 29th, you'll be at the Comedy Zone in Charlotte. Then on September the 30th, the Artisan in Flat Rock, North Carolina.
That's right. There you go, folks. Until then, I will be over here hunkering down with Betty and David Reap, having a good time being with family and friends. And you don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and share to our podcast. And we thank you for listening. For Betty Reap, I am John Reap. Bicycle.
Reading your love, I like to see sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of my precious child.